Hey guys, and welcome to Smart Women Read Romance, a book review podcast where we fangirl over all things romance. I'm Jessen.
And I'm Juliet.
And today we'll be reviewing The Tyrant Alpha's Rejected Mate, the first book in Kate C. Wells's Five Packs series. Before we dive in, make sure that you subscribe to the podcast on your preferred podcast platform, and please rate and review us. If you want more romance discussions, follow us on our social media pages at SWReadRom, join our Facebook group, The Swoon Zone, and follow my YouTube channel, Jessen Reads Romance. If you'd like some podcast extras, become a patron of the podcast on Patreon, where we have extra content, including exclusive episodes and give away free enamel pins, stickers, books, and bookmarks. Special shout out to all of our lovely patrons. We appreciate you and love all the support.
Yes.
Guys, let me tell you, the past couple weeks in Louisiana has been a little crazy weather-wise.
Has it?
So, and I feel extremely horrible for New Orleans, if you had not heard. Mm. So we had like these storm systems pass through like South U.S. and yeah. It hit Texas first, and I really wasn't paying too much attention. Thank God my friends on my group message keep me up to date with like the weather and things, like, because hey. I'm just like buried in my own little world.
I know.
And they're like, hey, it's supposed to storm tomorrow. I'm like, really? Like, I had never heard of this before.
I know. Well, I only know when they're like, my husband's like, you know, they may cancel school tomorrow. I'm like, cancel for what? He's What's like, the canceling? Weather? You like, hadn't seen the weather?
What
I'm like,
weather? What? It's sunny outside.
It's like 50 to 80 degrees, like on a daily basis, you know?
What's going on, guys? Well, last week, that first storm system passed through.
Right.
And everyone was like, the weather's supposed to be really, really bad.
Yeah.
And so we were just kind of like waiting for it. And mm-hmm. I think it was on a Saturday that it passed through.
Yeah.
Because I was just at home and I was studying. And I remember like all morning, the wind had been like really like whistling and yeah. howling, blowing really hard. I kept getting notifications from my Echo Dot saying that there's going to be this
wind advisory,
all yeah. that jazz for my area. And then when it hit us, I was like, oh, wait, it's about to really storm. And yeah. I started to get nervous because we're in Louisiana. We're very used to hurricanes. And hurricanes, mm-hmm. you get lots of prep knowing that something is coming oh, yeah. toward you. Mm-hmm. And you can leave if you want to. If you feel like your life is in danger, you may leave.
Right.
Not that a lot of people in Louisiana do leave. But right. you can. It's an option.
Right.
With tornadoes, there's really no warning.
Mm-mm.
Until it touches down and they're like, hey, there's a tornado coming your way. We don't get those very often.
Right.
We're not in an area where we have tornadoes. Every once in a while, we'll have like a small tornado that touches down for mm-hmm. like a couple minutes and like boom, like goes
but
away.
But it feels like it's always like out in the country.
Yeah, it like, doesn't touch anything.
It's never like in the city or
yeah,
something
like that.
Yeah, it's
just like it passed through this small town on the outskirts, right. no, but nothing was damaged kind
right.
of thing. Well, for this storm system, it passed over us around like 2-3, around that time, like yeah. in the early afternoon.
And it went south.
And then all of a sudden, at like 7 o'clock that night, I'm getting notifications. Crystal was one of the ones that texted me, and she was like, hey, I remember you saying that there were storms today, and I don't know where the Ninth Ward is or anything like that, but like, I hope you're yeah. okay. And I was like, oh, that's in New Orleans.
That's in New Orleans.
So I go and I look on Twitter, and all yeah. of a sudden I see this fucking huge tornado.
It looks like
it
looks like Wizard of Oz tornado.
It reminded me of Twister, which I used to be obsessed
exactly.
with as a child because I was scared of it and I watched it a
lot.
It
was fucking huge. And I mean, I saw a couple of different angles of it. I mean, somebody was in, you know, one of the tall buildings downtown the quarter filming the Ninth Ward. And you see this like giant cone rushing through the city. Like I've just never seen that. You think of tornadoes, you think like, you know, out on the prairie, you know, out in the open field.
In Tornado Alley.
Yeah, in Tornado Not Alley. Here. Not in New Orleans, for fuck's sake. I mean, a poor Ninth Ward, they had suffered a lot from Katrina, you know?
Yeah.
It's still not recovered, honestly.
No.
And so that's just, it's just tragic.
It was very tragic and you very know? Scary, too. And so when the following week, this past week, okay, on Wednesday, it was like, hey, the weather's supposed to be really bad again. I'm like, what? And
yeah.
I look, and like, when you look at the radar, it looks like the same type of system passing
it is.
Through. And
it
I was
is.
Like, what the fuck?
It's like the exact
I was
same
like, Wait.
Kind.
So now I'm like doubly scared mm-hmm. because of what happened in New Orleans. I was like, oh my God, it's going to pass over us. We're going to have a tornado now. So I was like freaking the fuck out.
The wind was insane though.
The wind
like,
was bad.
They
that
did
morning.
Cancel school again because
they canceled like all of our areas.
They can't transport school. Children in that kind of weather. You mm-hmm. just can't because the wind advice. I was told Justin, I was like, Justin, I'm looking at the trees like behind my neighborhood because we have really like those old tall trees, oak trees, and like It's shaking. It reminds me of like King Kong. You see the movie King Kong and the trees are shaking and shit. I mean,
or like Jurassic Park.
Jurassic Park, exactly.
Like you see, like the
that's exactly what it looks like during a hurricane. I'm like, it looks like hurricane winds. That's what it looks like right now. You know?
Yeah, yeah. And luckily for us, it passed right on through. And
I know we were fortunate.
We got lots of wind in the morning. Very dark all morning.
We had some flickering lights,
and then all of a sudden passed through. And it was like sunny after that.
It stormed pretty bad where we were, but it was like it would probably last about an hour. But the winds knocked out the power a little bit, but fortunately,
not too bad. Oh, you did lose power.
Yeah, a little bit.
Oh, okay. My lights actually flickered, but early in the morning.
Really? Ours was afternoon.
It was just kind of like
strange.
Like it dimmed a little bit.
Yeah. Y'all didn't have heavy rain in the afternoon?
We had like a downpour for like 1 hour, but like there was no wind with it. It just felt like a regular thunderstorm.
I don't understand. These are weird storms. Yeah. Like, this isn't really normal. Like, for Louisiana, we get, like, these sultry little southern afternoon rainstorms,
you know? Oh, my God. Juliet's on the plantation right now.
Exactly. Like, it just feels like, you know, just like, everything's hot, and so it rains and cools things off and then goes through, you know? But, like, these are major things that I would expect, like, in August, like, during hurricane season. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's weird.
Yeah. It is very weird for April. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. We've been dealing with that. But that's about it. Thank God no hurricanes popping up in freaking
April. We've been
April.
Okay where we are.
Yeah. Exactly. It was just so weird because, of course, when you're being cautious, everybody's like canceling school, and then it turns out to be nothing, and everybody likes to laugh about it.
I know.
But we did talk about, like, some of the local colleges – especially whenever I was in college, like the first time, they would not close until the very last minute, even when a hurricane was coming. Okay. They're like, yeah, we're still having class at 7 a.m. Like, are you fucking serious?
I know everybody had canceled. I was talking to Justin. She's like,
category 4 storm is coming our way, but yet we still have class tomorrow. Okay. So, like, this happens, like, all the time. And so everyone jokes, like, oh, if UL closes, then it's serious.
Then it's serious.
Then it's serious.
Right. If the college campus closes, then we can all, like, be afraid.
Yes, yes. And I remember there was kind of, like, one pop-up storm that happened. Mm-hmm. And while I was still going, it was my last semester at UL. And one of my best friends, we both had a 8 a.m. class that morning. And we both parked in the same parking lot. So, like, I'm on the way to school, and it just turned pitch black. It looked like the apocalypse to me.
Yeah.
Like, pitch black. And then all of a sudden, pouring rain, lightning struck to my right and hit a tree. And fell over. Like,
oh, my
took
God.
Down the power line next to me. It was so scary. I was shaking. I got to the parking lot. We parked next to a church. And I ran inside, and Ashley was already in there. I was like, what is going on? I was like, what happened? And, like, I didn't even know it was supposed to storm that morning because I left my house, and it was, like, clear where I was.
Yeah.
And then I drove into, like, the eye of this fucking storm system, and it was crazy and scary. I was like, there's going to be a tornado that, like, touches down right in front of me. Like, I was convinced that there was going to be a tornado.
Yeah.
It just, like, bad weather when it's like that. I love rainy weather. So
Justin and I are pluviophiles. I've even looked it up. People who, like, actually love, like, the rain storms and stuff. Like, I don't know. It, like, puts me in, like, this moody mood. I don't know what to say. Like,
I feel I want serene to, like, when I have that type of overcast, rainy weather. It feels so cozy to me.
I got 5,000 words that day off.
And I guess it's because we have an abundance of sunny weather. So whenever we do get those overcast, rainy days, it feels like something new. And for us, like, it's cozy reading weather.
It is.
But when it's stuff like that, I'm like, no, take it back. I don't want that. That's fine. You can have.
I don't
these
want a superstorm. Just no, like, you know, a few gray clouds and some rain. Thank you.
I only want the gloomy weather. But
yes,
that's it.
Just give me the gloomy weather.
Set the mood for my reading experience, and that's all I want.
To be cozy in my house while it's raining.
Anyway, guys, so we need to talk about this book.
Oh my God, Dewey, please tell us about these lovely characters.
I'm going to tell you about these characters. So I really, really love these characters. Mm-hmm. The heroine, Una Hayes, is a part of a, you know, shifter community, a wolf community, but she's never shifted before. So normally in this community, when you turn about, like when you hit puberty, you're 16, 17 years old, they go into their first heat, and that's when they actually shift for the first time. Una never had that. Okay. So she's always been kind of like lacking in that area. And also when she was young, we don't know exactly the situation in the beginning, but we do know that one of her legs is badly damaged. So she walks with a limp and she's a little bit outcast. Mm-hmm. And in this pack structure, if you're a female who is unmated, you don't have a male to take care of you, and you don't have like a father figure or an uncle to take care of you, if you are a lone female, you rank very lowly.
Like, you're the lowest.
You're the lowest of the low.
Not only that, she's never shifted, and she's lame because she was injured when she was younger.
Yes. So, Una is serving dinner because this is one of the jobs of the lone females. Serving dinner one night because everyone eats as a community.
I love that the pack structure is so interesting.
It is.
I
can't wait to talk more about this. And it's been, like, updated. We'll talk about what changes happened. But she's serving dinner. And she's like, man, it feels so hot in here. Like, what is going on? I'm sweating. Like, this is so weird. And like, you know, they're having like a little like mock battle, like in the middle. They always do this shit.
This like brawl
and
thing.
So she's kind of waiting to be to serve other people. And then once that battle's all done, there's this girl named Hazley. She goes sit on the alpha who's like sitting. Juliet like can't handle herself right now. This girl named Hazley goes up to the kind of like stage where the alpha is just sitting and kind of straddles him. And then all of a sudden she gets these very possessive feelings of mine and like, bitch, stay away from him. And she's known the alpha all of his life.
I also and love the fact that she's happened. Never had, like, she even has like
she's
sort of negative
feelings
about
or
him.
A crush on him because all the girls have had crushes on him. She's just like, I'm not like
no,
that at
thank
all.
You.
Like, he's a bit of an asshole. Like,
yes.
I would never want to be
I love
to him.
That she has that. Attitude.
Yes. So, yeah, shit happens. Shit goes down. We'll talk about that later. And then we have Killian Kelly, our alpha. He's one of the most powerful wolves in the five packs. So in this area, there are five different packs. And this is the quarry pack. And he became alpha when he was 18. He was very young. And he has a bit of a reputation, which we'll talk about later. But he's convinced since, like I said, you normally go into heat when you're in your teen years, and then you soon after you find your mate or something like that. He's just convinced that he is never going to have a mate. Mm-hmm. And this situation turns a little hairy because Una's experiencing her heat right now. And guess who she's attracted
locked
to?
On.
She is locked on Killian Kelly, the alpha of this pack. And shit goes down in this situation.
This scene, y'all.
This scene is crazy. So, guys, if you've not read The Tyrant Alpha's Rejected Mate, read it and come back and chat with us. All right, guys. So let's talk about the quarry pack.
Oh my God, let's talk about it.
Let's talk about the pack, like what it used to be before it is, what it.
Okay.
The structure is a lot different.
Right. So old structure under Killian's father, like the old school, was basically the unprotected females, single females, which would have been Una's character and her friends, were like, basically used for, basically, I love this idea that said they would have to present to any man who wanted them, which means basically ass in the air and like, let men use you, you know? And so I found that very interesting that in the old pack, women were beaten. They were, you know, obviously
not respected at all.
Not respected at all. They were the lowest in the pack, and that obviously strength, you know, it was like, what do they call it?
Might makes right.
Thank you. Might makes right. That's what I was trying to think of. So it was a very alpha, male, dominant, patriarchal society, I guess.
And they're also a little bit kind of behind the times because they don't want to associate with humans. And they feel like that's going to like kind of corrupt their society. And also,
and they even make fun of one pack that has done that.
Very businessy. And like, they're making money, like making serious money. But also, they're like, well, what is that worth? Like, we're going to lose our way of life. For, you know, trading.
To trade with a human.
Exactly. And we don't want that.
And that's the one thing Killian sort of held on to is trying to keep them separate from the humans.
Trying to keep them separate because he doesn't trust them.
Right.
He thinks that one day the humans, who outnumber them greatly, will turn on them.
Right.
And kind of want to experiment on them.
Because humans know about them.
Yeah.
You know, in this world.
It's out in the world. But, you know, for the most part, the packs are held pretty separately from human society.
Yeah.
And they actually have one of Killian's dad was not a good guy, okay?
No, bad.
But one of his claims to fame was actually, okay, so this pack, the quarry pack, used to actually live in, like, the caves. Like, they used to live, like, very, very,
what do they call them? The ruins or something?
Yes.
They call them something.
Yes, but they used to live very, like, rustic lives, okay? Mm-hmm. and like hunt for their dinner and all that.
Like animals, you know, very much more like animals than humans. So Killian's
dad got money. They started what the Quarry Pack's kind of famous for is that they train fighters. And so they fight them on the circuit right. And that's how they make money. They make prize money and they mm-hmm. also do like bodyguard work and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And they made money and his dad actually bought this land from like this old like campground and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so like it's like, you know, they have like a big common area and stuff. So like a summer camp type. Yeah. Of thing.
There's like cabins sporadically placed. So everywhere.
They have that area now. And that's the only good thing that Killian's dad has ever done.
Right.
And once Killian's dad has died, then most of the time in other packs, it kind of passes from father to son. But mm-hmm. Killian actually won it. He beat out all the other contenders and he won it because he is very powerful and he has this ability and it's called a flip shifter. So
I love that.
Normally, whenever you shift, it takes a little bit of time. Mm-hmm. And like you can't just shift back and forth without it like depleting your reserves. Like it takes mm-hmm. energy. Well, not for Killian. Killian can just go between human and man. He can be human and wolf
like back and forth, back and forth.
In a split second.
In a and fight,
it saves
whenever.
Him in fights like a bunch of times. That's mm-hmm. what makes him such a great fighter. Because if you're going for like the human head and then all of a sudden he switches to a wolf, like that's in completely different
places.
And
his wolf is like, what, 6 or 7 feet tall or
yeah,
something
crazy?
Yeah,
he says it's bigger than a dire wolf, which it kind of makes me a little nostalgic for Game of Thrones.
Oh, no,
but
I love
parts.
That too. I love the description of his wolf. Oh, my God.
Yes, exactly. So the pack as it is now, it is definitely not as backwards as it was, but right. it still could use improvements. And Killian's trying to, but there's still that old guard.
You still got, like, you know, the old single unprotected females are serving. Now, they're not being abused in any way.
They used
but
to keep
being,
them in the basement.
Like, yeah, they used to take them to the basement for, like sex.
And rape them. It's yes. just, it was a horrible
it
situation.
It was horrible.
Killian now has them set up in a cabin that's separate from the rest of them. But they are right. required to do their part, quote unquote.
Right.
And
so
they
they're kind
do
of like
serve
servants.
The dinner.
Right.
Yes, exactly. Right. But they're also not allowed to have cell phones. They're not
no
allowed
to.
No women
can have cell phones.
They're not allowed to, like, really make money. And they're
they
not
can't
allowed
leave the compound without
leave
a male.
Without permission. Or associate with humans.
Or talk to human men.
They're very
like, that
limited.
Was very interesting in the very beginning when she's, like, thinking through in that first scene. She's, like, because she's
about
thinking
her
about
plan.
Her business. She has harvested these mushrooms. And she has found a buyer online. The other thing is, like, they can't do any, they can't have bank accounts. So they can't do any online, like, switching money. She has to do cash-only deals. But she's found all these, like, farm-to-table type buyers, like, online. And so she found
these
a buyer.
Mushrooms that are delicacies.
Yes, delicacies. They could make like, I don't know, a couple hundred, like $400. And she's
for
been
like,
a
jar.
Yeah, for a jar. And she's been like, you know, amassing money and cash for her and her girls. She's very protective of her girls, which
to
I
give
love.
Them, like, things like a like, TV, like yeah, entertain.
And one of the
phones.
Which girl
They're
wanted the she
phones.
Wanted the Xbox. She loves
yeah.
like playing video games.
Kennedy loves playing video games. Like all of them love playing video games.
Yeah.
And TV and cell phones. They're not supposed to have cell phones
yeah.
either. Okay, all of the females, but, even the mated. Females are not supposed to have cell phones.
But they all do these, and hide them.
Well, yeah, that comes out at the end.
Yeah,
that,
we find that out later.
Like, come on, guys. You're acting
the alpha
like your
female
wives
has
don't
one.
Fucking have phones. Like, come on. They text each other all the time. What are they called? They're air bombing each other. They're like, it's called air dropping.
Air bombing.
Air bombing each other. That was pretty funny.
Yeah.
But the point is, Una, she's 27, okay?
At yeah.
But she's an old maid at this point.
Yeah.
And she's taking care of all these younger, lone females who don't mm-hmm. have anybody to protect them. So she's taking them under her wing, and they're kind of secretly trading with the humans.
Yeah.
They dealt in, like, honey, but now yeah. they're like, oh, the honey market's getting a little too competitive. We need to diversify. And
yeah.
so they're doing
So they've
mushrooms.
Been sneaking the truck out to the farmer's market.
Oh, they're not supposed to drive
either. I love it. Sneaking out to the farmer's market to sell their mushrooms.
So rebellious.
But she's thinking about this and the whole time. I loved how we got information without info dump in this. This book, y'all, is so well written. So well written.
Very compelling.
It is very compelling from the beginning. She's like, she's in her head, but she's not like just like explaining shit. She's saying, oh God, Killian would be fucking furious if he knew that we were talking to human men because
yeah.
we're not supposed
she's
to talk
to She's bored
to
men. Death. She's trying you know? To do her job so she can get back to her business, but she has to wait until these fucktards
yeah.
finish their stupid match, okay?
Yeah, their fight.
She's just
they're
trying
rolling
to
around
serve
on the table
right now so that
floor.
She can get her night over with, and they're in her way. Well, that's when it gets really hot.
Her heat flashes start
and
coming.
And she just like, what the fuck's going on? And she doesn't understand what's happening until all of a sudden she feels her wolf. Because like a wolf, the wolf is a little bit separate.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, there's old wives' tales that just claims that you and your wolf are one. But Una is best friends with Alberta.
I love her.
She's a little shifter, but she has some sort of, like, witchy mystical ability.
She's a little apparent
and
a lot more
witchy. Told her lone females that, hey, some of the things that the elders say, like, they're not really
true. They're lies.
They're just, like, fantasies. They're romanticizing it a little bit. And, you know, you and your wolf are separate. You can't have separate feelings and emotions.
What's cool, though, is, like, in this moment, she feels her wolf coming up, and it's not her that's attracted to Killian, it's the wolf. And the wolf sees Hazley grinding all over what's his face and the funny thing is he's just like watching the match, ignoring her, like on his lap. She's like basically licking him or something. She's ridiculous. And like instantly her wolf is like saying mine. He's mine. That bitch needs to get off. Like her wolf is like clawing to get out.
I really love when we get those little perspectives from her wolf. It's like very little snippets. And like at first her wolf's just like really excited because her wolf's never been out before. So she's just like, oh, yes, let's go outside and go run and like be free.
And then she's like, wait, no, him.
With a smell, like I want him. And oh no, she's encroaching on our territory. We must defend.
Yeah.
Right now we must mark her territory. But like we said, she has a leg injury. Like her leg is very badly mauled.
And we don't have the history yet in the beginning.
We
don't have the history
yet. We just know that she can't really walk on it very well. Mm-hmm. And she, Alberta basically said, like, if you ever shift, like, your wolf will also, it'll
be
carry
lame.
It through.
You'll still be lame.
You still have trouble with that one leg. So her wolf does shift and wants to go for Hazley's throat. And everybody's very fucking confused in this situation. Like, what the fuck?
Because this is the first time she's ever shifted. And also, like, they make note that she's a scrawny little gray wolf.
Little bitty wolf.
Little small gray wolf.
And when she seriously goes after Hazley, Hazley
turns into a beautiful white wolf.
Is very strong.
Very strong.
Her mother is the alpha female.
Yeah, and she basically puts her down.
She, like, almost rips out her throat. Okay?
Until Killian stops it.
Yeah, Killian, like, stops it at that. And when Killian uses his alpha voice on her, and like basically after she shifts, he makes her shift back into human form.
Y'all,
she's
this whole
naked.
Scene
naked
is so good.
And bloody.
Oh my god.
She's just been humiliated. She's just been handed her ass by Hazley, a more powerful wolf, and she just seemingly just attacked her unprovoked.
Not only that, she has very bad scarring on her thigh and her leg from being maimed when she was younger. And she says, I can feel all their eyes staring at my, like, basically my deformity. Like, that's all they see in me is my deformity. This scene was so powerful to me. I am just enamored with how she has set up this world because it's much more animalistic than any wolf shifter series I have ever read.
Yeah.
The animal is much more prominent in their world and in their, like, minds than
I've ever
seen.
Especially in their,
like,
way of life. Like, it's more, like, catering to the wolf than it is to their human instincts.
To their human side.
Like,
it's very interesting.
And Killian goes to her and says, you know, get up. And she also really hates getting up because it makes her vulnerable the way that she has to get up and lean on her one good leg. And she hates it.
She has to get on her knees and push herself up onto her good leg and then raise herself up. So it's basically like humiliating herself further in front of everyone else. Oh, my God. The scene. I'm just like, I can't talk about it. Oh.
So Killian asks her, like, why would you go after Hazley? What prompted this? And her response is saying that you're my mate.
But and she says it outside, right? When they go.
No, she says it inside.
She says it inside?
She says.
Oh, my God. I forgot.
Because you're my mate. And
yeah, that's right. She does. She does.
And he says, if I had a mate, would she be weak and capable of defending herself? Would fate give us you to lead by my side to protect us? So basically, he just kind of being like, he's so convinced that he's never going to have a mate at this point.
Yeah.
Because he should have found her already in his mind. And he just like, well, no, this girl's not it for sure. Like, she just has to be moon mad. He keeps justifying this as like, some wolves go a little rogue and she must be going
mad. They call it moon madness.
And yeah, she can't. And he's also been told these old wives' tales that when you find your mate, you feel it right away. It's almost like a love at first sight type of situation.
Everybody says there's no
mistaking it. There's no other feeling like it in the world. You will know, okay? And he's just like, I didn't feel any of that shit. So like, no, of course this girl's not my mate, and she's just confused, and I feel sorry for her. So
oh my god,
he makes her So he humiliates her in front of everybody else. And she is so, like, this perspective, because it's like her wolf inside is dying inside, because she's like, why is my mate rejecting
me? Why is
me?
He
like,
doing this
he's
to me?
He's ours. He's why? Mine. He should protect me. He should want me. Like, we should be together right now. And Una is pissed off because she's like, yeah, he's a fucking asshole.
Yes.
No wonder why. And like, he should be recognizing this, but I'm not surprised that he's not. And I'm not going to let him humiliate me anymore.
But I mean,
well, he gets one of his lieutenants to just like basically say, like,
yeah, hey, what's bring his her name? Outside. What's Ty? Yeah, he's like basically, and he like takes her out back by the trash and releases her. Like she's trash.
We find out later it wasn't as heartless as all that, because apparently Hazley and her crew had gone out the front door. So Ty brought her through the back so that she could avoid him. But at the time, it feels so
rejected,
heartbreaking, and so unfeeling. And the way that, you know, Killian just turns away from her and goes back about his business and
like,
just
kind of like it was
turns
nothing.
Back on her. Being like, there's this no claim to fame with a stupid mate thing. Like, you're absolutely not.
And then it becomes worse because she starts running and she turns into the wolf and goes through the woods. And she just thinks, I have to get to Alberta. But halfway there, she's like going into. So this is where the wolf takes over. She is in full heat, like craving her mate, and it's like the wolf is heartbroken that he won't come to her, and it hurts. Like, she talks about the pain that he won't come to her, that he won't recognize her.
A blackberry
bush, yeah,
and like it's a big thatch of them. And her wolf, because it's been running on instinct, has instinctively, since she is weak, she's very small.
Protecting herself.
She only has three good legs. Mm-hmm. She has burrowed herself in there, and it has torn her up to get into this position. But she needs protection, and these provide her protection. She's pulling on her bond. Like, her wolf is pulling on her mate bond, calling Killian. And she's like, you can feel his wolf like kind of howl and respond, but then all of a sudden it fades. Like, he's pulling it back. Like, he's just not acknowledging it.
Yeah.
And it's so sad.
It's so sad. She's like whimpering and crying.
But
and,
you know what? Killian's not that big of an asshole. He's just dumb at this point.
It is.
And there is an explanation for it at the end. So don't be too mad at him.
I know. And that's what I loved. It's like, she is presenting him as this total like meathead asshole.
Yeah.
But he's not. He is at this point, he's just not recognizing what's in front of him.
Exactly. He's just in denial at this point. Mm-hmm. We get his point of view, and he's just kind of like, I feel sorry for her because I know that everyone has told me there's this feeling, and I didn't have this feeling, so she has to be wrong.
Yeah, but it's like, but I wasn't going to let like Hazley hurt her.
But yeah,
you know, she's a pack member. Mm-hmm. You know, she's lame. I'm not going to let her hurt a lame wolf.
And even he does feel the slight need. Like, when Hazley attacked her, he was like, I did feel the need to step in, but then that would be wrong. Like, I can't do that as alpha. Like, I needed to let it play out and stuff like that. So he does feel something sort of protective instinct towards her, but it's not as strong as he expected it to feel. And like, there's a moment where he like rubs against his chest. So it's like this very buried feeling in him.
Yeah.
It's so pushed down that he can't recognize it at this point.
Oh my God, okay? It's so good.
Like, he's kind of like practicing with Ty the next morning. You know, they're in the ring, the boxing ring, just like practicing. And he's being a little rougher than normal on like Fallon, who's like,
I don't know, Ty's like what the hell?
He's like, oh my God. And he's like, I don't know why. My wolf's just riding me so hard. Like, what the fuck could it be? I have no idea. Like, why?
I love Ty's like looking at him sideways the whole time. Like, dude. Like, you know, and we should also mention.
Should I be the one to tell the alpha that maybe?
That maybe his wolf recognized his mate and like fucking rejected her? Because it seems like Ty is kind of tuning in really fast. But so one thing we should mention also is that Alberta finds her as her wolf in the blackberry bush, like early the next morning.
Well, So Killian does send Fallon to go find her.
Because to go find out where she's at.
Hey, last night I stopped by the cabin. I didn't smell that she went back. And he just like, oh, well, she probably just went somewhere else. And like, that's fine. And then he's like, someone go find her. Like, you can't help but go check on her.
I love this. Like, I love this whole.
It's his instincts in the background that are, you know, very focused on her, but he's ignoring it. And I love that. I love it. It's so subtle and it's so well written.
It was perfect.
And so he's just like, somebody go check. Go find her.
Find out where she's at.
And so Fallon's like, I'll go find her. And so anyway, so he goes. And that's where we find her. Within the thatch, and Alberta has said like, oh goodness.
And she tells her to shift. She shifts.
She forces her.
And she's just like, and she's crying and just like, she's like, I'm in so much pain. And she's like, I could take this away from from you. I could take the bond, the mate bond. She's like, you can't. It's like, yeah, but
you'll never have young.
You'll never have mate bond again, and you can't have babies without your mate. Because in the wolf world, you can only have children with your fated mate. And so she's like, I don't care. The pain is so intense. And the way she describes it, like, I felt it. I was 100% just like aching for her.
I felt exhausted for her.
Me too.
Like, I felt like she'd been fighting a battle for, like, you know, weeks.
I know. Like, it's the crazy way that it was the way it was described.
I was just like, take it.
It was so, please. And I was like, please, Alberta, take it away. It's like, he deserves it. He does our
And
fit.
I love it. So after Alberta takes it, she's like, so I took your bond away. You won't feel it. Because she feels instantly better, but she's like, but I didn't take his away.
I know. And she's like grinning. She's like, wink, wink. It's like, we know Alberta knows something.
Yeah. She's not going to say shit. Because she even kind of has a little line drop where it's like, it's finally happening.
Like she's to that effect. Yeah. So there's some kind of history we don't know about.
Mm-hmm. And
So then she returns.
Then she's kind of like talking to herself, and she's like, you know what? Last night was very humiliating for me.
Yeah.
Like, I hated it. I hate people looking at me with pity and stuff. But you know what? I've been through fucking shit through my life.
Yeah.
When I was 7, I was attacked by this man called Thomas Fane. So then we got to get the little bit of perspective that, you know, one day, one of the older girls named Rowan, she was babysitting her cousin, Mari. And she was just a baby in a bassinet, mm-hmm. and she wanted to go get snacks or something. So she basically told Una, just watch the baby. Mm-hmm. So it was just Una and the baby. And then all of a sudden, this guy named Thomas Fane, who's not a very good guy and who also happens to be Mari's father, comes, and he's drunk. Mm-hmm. And he's mumbling something about, like,
not my baby
not even being his, his wife being a slut. And the alpha, who's Declan Kelly, this is Killian's dad, being basically the father, mm-hmm. or, like, sleeping with his wife or whatever. Mm-hmm. He decides to kick the baby basket, and it falls over, and Una throws herself onto the baby to protect her, mm-hmm. and, like, he starts pummeling Una and then shifts and then mauls her fucking leg. So this is how her injury happened.
Right.
Very traumatically, and all she remembers is pain, and then, you know, she heard Declan Kelly came
eventually
and
put him down
and killed mm-hmm. him because he was going feral or whatever.
Right.
And that's how, and, like, her wound must have gotten infected, and that's why it never healed.
And
properly.
Mari is one of the girls in her house now, too, which I thought was interesting.
Was kind of like, and she's very protective of all her girls. It's Mari.
I cannot wait for all their
Annie
stories.
And Kennedy.
Yeah.
So all of them have, like, different little stories. They're mm-hmm. set up very well. Kennedy's especially is very interesting.
Very, very
interesting about Kennedy. So Kennedy, she's a lone female, but the best kept secret is that Kennedy's wolf is male.
Is male. Super protective,
aggressive
male.
And protective, but she's like, that would blow the elder's fucking mind that a girl has an aggressive alpha wolf in her. Okay, so they're hiding all that. Okay,
yeah,
and so she like Killian had sent Fallon, and Fallon went over there and kind of saw that Una was in the thicket and was just like, what do I tell him? And Alberta's like, tell him that his mate's in pain. And he's mm-hmm. like, I'm not going to tell him that. I'm not going to tell him that his mate's in pain. Like, he rejected her. And she was just like, yeah, well, I don't know what else to tell you. And he's like, I'm just going to say she was with you. Mm-hmm. And she's like, tell him whatever you want. But I'm just telling you, the God's honest truth is his mate is in pain and needs mm-hmm. him. And so I love how when she's going back, she's talking about all the things she persevered. She goes to her cabin and Killian's there.
I love how she's stepping up her porch. He's like, immediately steps out of the shadows and is like, hey, hello, where have you been? He's like, Amita's like, where have you been? Or whatever.
And I love how his big speech is like basically telling her, like, hey, you never attack an opponent that's bigger than you. So, like, he's frustrated on her behalf because he's
and
like,
he's pacing.
I don't want you to get your ass handed to you. And so he's giving her fighting advice. And, like, he doesn't know why he feels the need to impart this advice on her. Obviously, it's the wolf riding him, trying to make sure that his mate never puts herself in the situation like that again. But he's just like, I'm just trying to give a pack make advice.
And I love he's kind of pacing while he's doing it. Like, he's nervous.
So agitated.
He's like, yeah, he's agitated. Good word. And it's just so funny because she's like, what the fuck is Killian
like,
doing?
Okay, like, go the fuck away.
Yeah, like I'm done.
I'm done with you. You've humiliated me. And
the maid bond's broken. She doesn't feel
she's
attraction.
Like, oh, no, my wolf is going to, like, you know, freak out because he's near, but doesn't happen. So she's like, oh, okay.
It's good.
And I love how when he's training B-Roster later on that day, because all they do is fucking train for
That's
the
all
fights.
They do. All they do is fight and train. Fight and train.
He's like supposed to be paying attention to the B-Roster. That's who he's training today. And he can't help but thinking about Una. These thoughts, his instincts are telling him to go to the commons again, to go back to camp. And so he's like, finally, like, he just shifts and starts running to camp.
Like, I gotta go.
And he goes to the garage. Okay, so what he doesn't know is that his
wolf and Annie
senses that Una and Annie are going somewhere.
They're about to sneak off. They're about to go do the run or whatever to town.
She needs to show Annie how to start the old Ford.
Yes.
Okay, they're not supposed to drive, okay?
Yes.
Again, secretive. How to start the old Ford, because it's Annie's turn to go into town to do the trade. Okay.
Yes. They kind of like, it's like take in a, it in a couple of days or something.
Yes. And Una's not gonna be able to go because all the drama.
Because he told, that was one of his punishments. He's like, you're not grounded to, you know, go anywhere without my permission, like, you know, whatever.
Basically, all she's eyes kind are of on Una, so she can't go at this point.
Right.
And Killian's wolf gets there, and all of a sudden, Annie and Una around the corner, and they freeze.
They freeze.
And they're like, oh, shit. So his wolf, like, sends out this mental command to shift. And, like, Liam, who, like, works on all the – he's, like, the mechanic. He shifts automatically.
And so does she.
Annie shifts automatically, and Una just stares at him and doesn't shift at all.
This is, like, the best scene.
I love this scene, okay? And the wolf, like, looks at her, tries to make her shift again. She never does it, and then decides to, like, kind of, like, cautiously approach Una.
And then
Una
starts being playful.
Yeah, playful, like, nudging her hand, like, hey, pet me. And Una's just like, you're not him, are you?
Yeah.
Like, you're a completely different personality than asshole Killian. Like, Killian would never do this.
And she's like laughing, and the wolf is like just like laughing it up.
He knocks her down, lays in her lap, wants pets, you know, gets really close to her nether regions.
Yes. He's like sniffing around.
I'm close to my mate.
He's like, oh my God, she smells divine.
This is bliss. I love this. Okay. And I love when we get the perspective, like, after the whole thing, Killian, you know, he leaves after he's had his fill of Una. But, like, we figure out that, like, they were scared shitless because they had the keys in their hand. And so, like, she dropped it. And Annie, even though she's so scared, she, like, covered it up with her wolf form and, like, you know, hid the keys and stuff. And Killian, after this whole scene, is, like, so floored because he's just like, me and my wolf have never not been on the same page. So
yeah,
this
what's
is
happening
so
with my wolf acting like this?
He goes, somehow, and he's talking about his wolf, somehow he's developed a mind of his own, preferences. My wolf digs this female mate. It's not possible. The wolf and the man are one. If the wolf has mate, so does man. He's like, I don't understand what's happening right now. He's in fucking denial, people. Fucking denial. But you know what?
It's time for dinner. Let's get to that dinner scene.
Time for
I want to talk about that next dinner scene.
I love this scene.
It's so good.
Okay, so Hazley's being a fucking bitch at this
point. Oh, fucking whore.
So, like, and, you know, of course the assholes are kind of like laughing at her display.
Yeah, and she knows
to
this.
Trip her.
Yeah. They start
like
to.
She's dodged like a couple of feet from being suddenly like stuck out in her path.
And there's a couple of like, we should talk about the, like, some bad ones who are kind of like.
Want to challenge
Killian. Yeah, they want to challenge Killian. And so now they're like really picking on her and they're like, you know, you better know your place.
Especially Lachlan, who's like the young. His uncle Iman was the person that Killian defeated.
Yeah.
And in the old way of things, you would execute your rival.
Right.
Killian allowed Iman to survive. And just was like, this is the new status quo. We're not going to just execute people for no reason.
But Iman and his, was it his nephew?
Lachlan is
his
nephew.
Lachlan.
And Hazley is his niece.
Yeah.
They're all.
And they kind of like bumped into her one time and were basically like, yeah, you know, you better be careful because we may be bringing back the basement. You know, like just really like scary shit.
Like just you wait. This way of life
is not
going
to
be the same.
You're not going to be like protected in your little, you know, spinster cabin or whatever.
We're going back to the old ways as it should be.
Yeah. So she's trying to like basically be really incognito. She's like, I'm going to. Keep a brave face. I know this, they're gonna laugh at me, but I mean, she is so strong to like walk in there and just ignore their jeers and their laughter. And Hazley's like back up on his lap, making eyes, you know.
And that's the thing though, too, because like she looks at Killian and Killian looks at her and still allows Hazley to sit on him.
Yes.
Even though when we've been in his mind, he's just like, I don't have a particular affinity to Hazley. And actually, she's getting a little bit too possessive and I don't like that. But in this moment, he's almost like testing Una to see if she'll do anything again.
Yeah.
It's kind of his fault what happens next as well.
I love it.
Una, who has had the mate bond ripped out of her, is just like, she's aggravated, but she cannot do she doesn't do anything. She doesn't make any aggressive moves like she did.
So like one of the assholes trips her, Finn, I think.
I want to say it was Lachlan. But it might have been Lachlan. It was all the same table.
Lachlan or Finn. Finn's in with that same group. So they trip her and she falls. And what's the name of the guy?
Gale, who was fighting. Sparring,
he was sparring with someone. He stops and he's like,
what the fuck?
He's like, what the fuck? She's got a hurt leg. You know, how could you treat her like that? He goes
to lift her up
and lifts her up off the floor. And immediately,
Killian's wolf comes out,
leaps across the room.
How dare you touch my woman?
And starts mauling Gale.
Like, oh my beating God. His ass. Okay, this is the thing. Gale is on B roster. He is not even on A roster. He is not up to the task to fight up against the alpha.
The alpha male.
Not even the alpha male of the quarry pack. The most strong alpha male in all five packs.
Ever. Yes. Yes.
And he's going after Gale. Gale holds his own, poor thing.
But Killian has lost his shit. Like, his wolf is literally, like, chewing on him and howling and, like, basically almost pissing a circle around. Like, insane.
He has a cousin named Ashlyn, who we don't really get to know in the scene. But Ashlyn had, like, pulled Una out the way because she's still on the floor at this point and whispers in Una's ear. Like, everyone knows that something's going on and Killian just doesn't want to acknowledge it because Ashlyn's like, do something. So what she does is she shifts, okay? And her little tiny wolf comes out from around the corner from the table and Killian's wolf catches sight of her and, like, basically tells everyone in the vicinity to submit. And everyone goes on their bellies, you know, like prostrating themselves against the alpha. Well, her wolf just sits her little behind down and is just kind of like, hello, yes, I'm going to lick myself right here and groom myself.
She's like so blasé, like, whatever.
Did you say something? And he just like, what? And like goes up to her and she gives him a little like nip and he like is loving this.
Okay? Yeah, he's like purring, growling.
He's like, now he's forgotten Gale. Somebody has like pulled him out the way. He shifted into human form and he's in his prime, so he'll recover. He's going to be fine. Yeah. But still, it was like, you know, touch and go there. He killed him.
Poor Gale. He helps her off the floor and is mauled. Like, bye.
So Killian shifts and then tells, like, picks her up, her little wolf form, and like goes outside and tells her like to shift and be like, what the fuck is going on? I don't understand. Poor, sweet, ignorant baby. He has no idea what's going on. But he has her, like, pressed up against, like, the wall outside.
Yes, yes, yes.
And he just kind of, like, very insistent, being like, you're not my mate. But he doesn't understand. He's like,
she goes, I know. But, I love her. She's like, I know.
I'm not.
I know I'm not.
There's nothing between us. And he's just like, what the fuck is this shit? What is going on?
Now you're saying I'm not?
Like, but he, like, can't help but, like, pet her, pull on her braid and stuff like that.
He's, like, touching her hair. He, like, can't stop touching her.
Yes, exactly. And she just, like, you know what? You're not going to hurt me because you know why? I have your wolf in my thrall.
Yeah.
And, like, he's just like, what are you going to do about it, little wolf? And he's just like, okay, come on. You need to come back to the lodge. He goes inside and he dresses everyone down about tripping lone females. And
let's mention, too, though, that she kind of said, sets him straight. She's like, you say you're the alpha wolf and, like, you know, but look at the way the lower ranked women are treated. You know, I am a lame, you know, whatever woman, and you let them trip me. Gale protected me. He was defending me and you attack him?
And I think she brings up, like, the moment where he made his alpha speech, like, saying, like, things are going to be different now. We don't attack females. We treat them with respect. And the person who beats on a woman or a pup is a pussy,
Yet you attack Gale, who protected me. And I think it kind
and
of,
he
like...
didn't say anything to the people who actually tripped me.
Right,
like,
exactly.
That's what the problem is right
exactly.
here.
Like, you,
like,
didn't...
you attack the wrong people.
Exactly. I love that moment. She kind of sets him straight, which is what an alpha female would do. You know?
Good looking out, Una. So he goes in there and he feels the need to dress down everybody. Mm-hmm. But he also refers to her as, you know, defective and stuff. And Una's in her head thinking, am I supposed to feel vindicated, impressed? All he did was make me, you know, stand up in front of everybody while he reminded everyone how weak I was. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not, I don't want to be seen as defective. Like,
right.
I'm not defective.
I'm not defective.
And so she just like, okay, I'm just going to leave while you're busy, like, chatting up people. And they look back at each other. So that night, she's hearing this howl outside of her fucking window. And she's like, what is...
All the roommates come in like, you've got to go out there and deal with him.
If he comes inside, he's going to find all our
contraband.
He's going to
find our contraband.
Our video games. Our cell phones. We're going to be in so much trouble. Oh, my God.
You've got to go out there.
I will go outside. So she goes outside. And he shifts. And Killy is just naked as the day he was born.
I love how one of the girls squeaks inside the window. Because she's never seen, like...
Oh, my God.
An erect alpha male.
Not shamed at all. And I love how, like, it's even more obvious after she gives him her little shawl because now it's tinted. Like, oh, don't he's look down.
He's got a little shawl wrapped around himself with a big tent.
Down. Don't look down. So he goes sit down and, like, they're talking about it. And he just kind of like, okay, you're safe over here. I have patrols that run around here every single night. He even explains why he put them in the cabin.
Yes,
the
and I love this part too, because at first we think that they're like being pushed aside.
Yeah,
shunned. But it's because he wants them protected, because he knows single females without male protectors are, you know, easy bait for those who want to abuse them. And so he really wanted, and he has guards on them all the time. And she never knew that. Mm-hmm. She never knew that he had guards watching them all the time.
She even said, she was like, well, I haven't ever smelled them. She was like,
they'd be downwind.
Really, really poor guards.
Yeah, we couldn't do them. Yeah.
And also, they're kind of close to his cabin, you know, as well. And he can sense if an intruder is coming toward their cabin.
I really love this information because it's a different perspective.
He's pointing all this out to reiterate that you're safe. Nothing's going to harm you.
So
why can't I leave?
Yeah.
My wolf won't let me leave this porch. And she's just like, I don't know, fucking figure it out for yourself. What could that mean?
Like, I'm not sure. I know she ends up just leaving him.
And I love how she's just like, it's not my problem. I'm not your mate. Like, she keeps telling him because he has to bring it up all the time. Like, you're not my mate. And she's like, I'm not your mate because I don't want to be your mate.
So like, stop telling me that.
And she's just like, nope, go inside. So she goes inside and he ends up by sleeping outside.
He can't leave the porch until morning. Yeah,
and he tells. I think it was Fallon. He tells again to
guard the house,
the cabin, make sure she doesn't leave. Okay?
Yes,
and also like they did have like a makeout session right there, and she was very mad at herself for even giving in that much because she said like he had made it seem like all they needed to do was go back to his cabin and get it out of their system.
Yeah, because he even said he's like, yeah, just come back to my cabin and we'll get this out of our system and it'll be fine.
I'm not interested in this stupid fuck buddies with benefits thing. Like, that's what you do with all the other females anyway. Like, no, you're not even acknowledging. Like, it'd be one thing if he would start acknowledging that there was something more between them, but he's still being so stubborn that she's just like, I'm not going to be treated like any other female that you've had. Like,
I do love that she starts to see him a little bit differently, though, when she comes to understand like why he put them in that cabin and why she's like, oh, okay, this was for protection.
It's not a different side to him.
Yes, it's a different side than she's ever
seen.
She's never
really wanted to look deeper.
Exactly.
Before. But now she's getting a little perspective. And so the reason why Killian puts Fallon on the cabin is because he's like, I need to go talk to Alberta. Something's going on. She has to have some
information. I love this.
And so they go, or I think it might be Gail that he has watching the cabin. Somebody's watching the cabin. And
yes,
in
Gail.
His head, okay, so he's running, he's going out in the woods thinking about Una. And he's talking about how we didn't know this before, but yes, he's hooked up with women, but he's actually a virgin.
Yes.
He's never had full penetrative sex.
He's decided like blowjobs are not a big deal, but he's like, but if I have sex with one of them, they'll think that they have like a place beside me.
When he was younger, he used to want to have a mate. And he wanted to kind of save himself for his mate. But the older that he got, the more it was like harder to fight that instinct. But he still was holding something back.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, maybe if I only get blowjobs, like it won't be as bad. Like I won't be like ruining myself for my mate. So like we find out that he's a virgin hero. I was so excited about it.
I was like, oh my God.
And while he's in the woods, what could he smell? Traces of Una.
Traces of Una. So he follows that scent to a blackberry bush where he smells pain and blood and
his wolf
sadness.
Is crazy.
His wolf loses his mind and like is crying and burying it like shame. It was so profound, this moment.
It was so good
that the wolf can't handle. It hurts him so much. He's like, he has to bury it. Yeah. So he like digs up the dirt and buries
this
scent.
It was so shameful that his mate felt this way, that he never wanted anybody.
He couldn't
acknowledge that. So finally, Alberta, she's actually about to leave, okay? She's about
she's
to go
packing
to,
she's about her
to go
shit.
To, like, the
she
moon
is,
whatever pack.
Yeah, she's
moon
got
lake,
a – we think pack. She may have, like, a little lover or something
lover.
Going on.
Something's going on in Moon Lake pack. And she's like, damn, I thought I'd be gone before you got here, and you're not. So I guess I have some explanation. So she's like, hey, let me tell you a little story about something that happened whenever you were young. Do you remember the first time that you shifted? Because there's this rumor that Killian shifted when he was like 9 years old. And everyone's like,
yes.
That's impossible. Like,
nobody
that's
shifts that young.
Well, apparently, a part of the story with Una's attack was left out, when in actuality what happened was that Killian was kind of nearby. He was waiting for Ty. They were going to go throw the football. And when Thomas Vane attacked Una, his wolf ripped out of him and ran to Una to protect her. And he tore apart this dominant male wolf, old adult. He is 9 years old.
He tore
this man apart, this raving lunatic apart. And it took his father, the alpha, Declan Kelly, plus three other men
to get him off. To get him away from
her. Because he was protecting his mate. And his mother and her mother brought them both to Alberta because they were both near death. She is near death because of her injuries. And he was near death because the shift was tearing him up. Like, him shifting so young was just, it's incompatible.
Yeah.
And so he was dying. And so Alberta was nursing them back to health and stuff. And we get this, like, little scene, this flashback where Alberta just, like, look, we can let her drink this so that she'll forget. She'll forget whatever happened. And you can drink it too and you'll forget. Because you're too young, your wolf needs to go back dormant until it's time. You need to be stronger. And she also needs to forget about this so that she's not waiting for you.
If anybody found out that he was shifting that young, they would take him out. They would take him out as a 9-year-old.
Exactly. Because as a human, his wolf's very strong.
Right.
Obviously, we found
that
out.
But as a boy.
But as a little boy, if they caught him while he was in human form, it would be no contest. So they kind of cover all this up.
Right.
Like, his dad did swear everyone to secrecy that did know about it. And, you know, they both drank Alberta's little potion.
He ends up drinking it and pouring it into her mouth with his mouth.
And I love, like, later on we get that scene where Una, as the girl, is asking her and he's like, you know, trust me. And they both know that they're mates at this point. As children. Oh,
they're so little.
They know that they're mates. But since they drank they forgot all about it.
So neither one of them know. But I just love this, how they've both been attuned to each other. Like, he talks about how I've known Una my whole life. She always sat in the front of the bus, always like teacher's
always
pet,
been for herself.
Always very smart, always very, he's like, I've always watched her. I've always known about her.
Yeah.
You know, but it was like,
but we never ran in the same circle type of thing.
Right.
And it was just, they were waiting for each other to mature. And she was the one that was acknowledging it first. And unfortunately, like we said, the thing about it is he's already felt the bond snap into place.
Yeah.
So, like, there was no, oh, no, here's my mate acknowledgement again when Una finally recognizes it. It was him always
recognizing
it
and it's
pushing
like coming
it down.
Back.
He's always pushed it down.
It's almost like a spell. And it's like slowly, for him, it's like slowly being unwound and broken. And he finally realizes it. And, oh, my God.
And Alberta. He asks Alberta, like, is she my mate? And at first, she's just like, hey, this is something
well,
you
not
ask Una.
Not anymore. Because.
Like, I ripped the mate bond out of her.
Yo,
he was like, you did.
You what? We have that you did what moment.
And he's like, you took my young from me. You took my mate from
me. He is furious.
And I love how Alberta's just not fazed. And she's like, you could always try to woo her.
The old-fashioned way.
What is woo?
I know.
I don't understand.
Like, he's like, wait, is it done for good? He's like, I don't know. Maybe. I've never done it before.
Weird. Fate's a weird thing. I'm not sure. Maybe you have to work for it, shocker. Put some effort into it, Killian.
Yeah.
So he's just like, oh. Okay.
But I love that moment where he realized he had fucked up. So this is where I just love. It's like he realizes, oh, my God, I've got to grovel like fucking big time.
But when he goes back to the cabin, he doesn't smell her there.
Mm.
And he goes and there's another guard. It's Jamie instead of Gail. And he's just like, what
they
the fuck? Where's
out.
Gail? Well, Lachlan came and said he needed Gail. And so put me on it. But they're all there. They didn't move. No, she's not there.
I don't smell her.
What the hell
happened? Jamie is like a little kid. He's like, I don't know.
Yeah, like, what? He busts in their cabin. Of course, Mari, Annie, and Kennedy are freaking out because they're like, oh, shit. And he's just like, where is she? And I love how Kennedy's like, none of your business. And Mari and Annie are like, she went to the farmer's market.
That's so funny.
Kennedy's like,
Kennedy's so tough.
No.
And the little girl's like, they're like ready to pee on themselves, the alpha.
And so she went to Chapel Hill. And he's like, what?
To meet a man.
She went to a human place by herself?
To meet a man about some mushrooms.
Listen. So she's trying to trade her mushrooms.
Yes. She's trying to get her mushrooms.
Guy's, first of all, trying to trick her out of the amount that she should be owed.
Not only that, he realizes she's a wolf. And then he makes this disgusting proposition to film her in his van shifting.
Yeah.
Because, like, that's, like, some kind of, like, new, like, porn, thing or something. Just to watch them shift and to, like, you know, spread videos around the internet or whatever. And she's like, fuck no. I'm not going to do that.
No, pay me my money.
Yeah, pay me my money.
Before the deal can even go down, Killian bursts into the diner where they're meeting at.
Ugh.
And goes after this guy.
Attacks
unhinged,
him.
Unhinged. Throws him down, being like, you trying to take what's mine? He's like, dude, take the mushrooms. I'm so sorry.
He's like, take the mushrooms.
Killian ends up by stepping on the jar, like falls down, oh, stepping on them and crushes them. Una is so devastated. She's just like, this was months worth of work of drying these mushrooms.
Yeah.
And I need to cultivate the spores. There's a certain way you do it. Like, all my work is basically down the toilet because of his selfishness and stupid alpha male tendencies.
Yeah. Like, what I find really fascinating about, so this society is obviously set up as a patriarchal society, but by them, the girls living off by themselves, they have learned independence. Like, she is very independent minded. She wants her own things, her own money. Like, she wants to protect her girls.
Why should I have to have a male to take care of me?
Yeah, I don't need a man.
They
would
be the ones to dictate what I could and could not have.
Exactly.
This way I have my own means of supporting me and my girls. And we've created a brand. Like, Kennedy is designing.
They are.
Like, our
Kennedy,
brand
exactly.
name. Like, it's like we're legit.
They're starting
here.
Their
we're
own business
something.
Online.
And they've been doing it for the past 10 fucking years. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh my God. And nobody's known. So she's been pretty smart. So they go. He basically brings her into the car because she knows she can't fight. And she doesn't want the humans to get hurt.
And he's giving her, like, alpha orders. She can't, like, she feels like she needs to obey. He's like, get in the car.
She's mostly protecting the humans because she's just like, nothing good could come of this.
Yeah.
Like, I need to get him away anyway.
I can never come back here again now anyway. He's ruined
like,
it, you know?
He's ruined all my contacts. Like,
yeah.
And I kind of like there was a moment where, like, this one other woman who's recognized her and just like, Una, are you okay?
Can I help
you? Like,
you
don't have to go with him. Like, you can stay with me. And she's just like, no one can stand against this asshole anyway. I'm not actually, like, in danger.
I'm not in danger, but I can't say no to the alpha.
Yes, exactly. So I'm just going to get him away. She gets in the car with him and he just, like, kind of berating her, like, what are you thinking? And she just like, you ruined my mushrooms. And he laughs and says, what mushrooms? Like, he's honestly confused.
Yeah.
And she shifts in the car and
she's
starts attacking
so
him. And he's just like, Una, what the fuck? Like, what's going on?
She's
like,
tangled in her seatbelt, trying to get out so she can bite him.
He pulls over and gets out of the car. And she gets out of the car. And then her wolf is just like, run free fast now. Like, I'm a wolf again. And so she's just like, I'm running. And
she takes
pace with her because obviously
he shifts and,
he can't run that fast compared to Killian. And so they have like a little frolic. And
wolf
is at the forefront right now. This presents a problem because her wolf is kind of like, oh, my mate's near.
Oh, hey, there he
is.
And I like him. We like him.
Yeah, we like him. We want to present to him. And inside, internally, Una's like, no, I don't want this at all. Mm-hmm. And when it seems like I was a little bit tense in this moment because like, oh no, they're going to regret this. He's going to regret this. It's going to be bad.
Yeah.
But he actually does pull back and he switches to a human and he tells her to shift and he calms her. Well, now he wants to acknowledge that she's his mate. Okay?
Yes, of course.
Petting her back and he ended up by like biting her, like marking her, you know, the wonderful neck mark of all alpha
wolf shifters.
And he licks it while he's in human form and she like snorts at him because like, it's like, of course, you possessive, stupid alpha male. And he goes, there's my grumpy mate. And Una, like, freezes. Like, what did you just say? And he's acknowledging it now. He's like, yeah, you're my mate. And she's like, no, I'm fucking
not.
No, I'm not. There's no mate bond here. Thank you very much. And he's just like, no, I know. I talked to Alberta. And she's just like, no, absolutely not. I don't feel anything. And
I love
you don't even
grovel.
Respect me. You ruined my deal. Mm-hmm. And she starts going off about like the status quo, about like she's been doing it for 10 years and the reason why she wants to do it because she wants the money. And he just like is so stubborn. He like he's hearing her, but he's not understanding like why would you need like the pack provides what you need. You're safe. Mm-hmm. This is unsafe. Like I just need you to not put yourself in danger. And that's all he's thinking about is safety.
Yeah.
Safety.
Yeah.
So he finally convinces her to go back in the car, and he drives her back home. And he takes her to his cabin. But she won't sit on the sofa because she says it stinks.
It stinks.
And
smells like other women.
Smells like other women. And he's like, you can't smell the other women or whatever. Like, I didn't really even do anything over there. And she starts listing all the women that he's
all the women that he's had
like,
blowjobs from.
Fucking damn. And like, oh, well, she's jealous. I guess this is a good thing. So he ends up by going inside, going to get a sweatshirt for her, and he likes her, you know, dressed in his clothing.
Yes, of course. I love those scenes too, though.
Too.
I'm
me
sorry.
Too.
Even
I,
like
I love it.
Straight contemporary, it's a thing.
And
you
he
know?
Knows that he has to be patient. He sits her down on the porch. She's tired from all the shifting, so she's like sitting down in a rocking chair that he brought for her, and she's kind of dozing off. And he makes a few phone calls. So he basically puts all the furniture by the back door. He rolls up the rug. He's inside. He's cleaning. He's bleaching. He's like scrubbing the cabin from top to bottom, and he's called Cheryl to come bring new furniture. Yeah. In, okay. And he just like, okay, I just need to be patient, and new things are being delivered, so I need you to be with me this morning because the wolf's riding me really hard, and I need you to be next to me. Mm-hmm. I need to go visit Ty and everything.
Yeah, so like, you're going to have to, like, just come – you're going to have to come do the rounds with me this morning. So basically, yeah, so she has to do this tag-along thing. I love –
they go to Ty's
house. I know, they love to go to Ty's house, and she's like – she almost wants to vomit. She's like, it stinks so bad in here. And everybody's like, what? They're like looking around.
What do you mean? What do you smell? Yeah, what it smells smelling? Like normal.
She's like, this is disgusting.
Well,
I'm going to throw
elder
up.
Who's actually like mated to, he might be mated to Haisley.
Haisley, I think. Yeah, he's actually a nice guy.
He's a nice guy. She does not deserve him.
Yeah,
up,
she
obviously.
Doesn't. And he's and like,
hey, y'all pups are new, but like too many unmated males, like it makes her sick because she's in heat right now.
Right.
Like,
she only wants her male. So you need
to
open
a window.
They open a window. She's like literally like hanging her head out.
She's like, I feel like a true dog right now. Because I'm just like hanging my head out the window.
Because this is so gross.
And he just like, again, his attention is constantly being pulled back. Like, they're talking about pack business. They're talking about Moon Lake and about how...
Oh, there's some guy they're going to come.
Yeah,
yes.
Alpha Moon Lake has a son, and they want to send Kadok Colin, his son, to their quarry pack to be trained.
Yeah.
And they're kind of discussing the merits of, like, should
he's
we train
this
guy?
He's the hero of book two, guys. I've already checked.
So book two actually comes out in a couple days. By the time this podcast comes out, it'll be out soon. Mm. And it's called The Heir Apparent's Rejected Mate, out April 22nd, guys.
Can't
and
wait.
I cannot wait.
Me neither.
As soon as I finish this book, I was like, where's book two?
I know.
No, it's not out.
I was so sad. I was so sad. Why is this not out so I can binge it all?
And so they're kind of like talking about all that. And all the while, he's just thinking about Una and about how he just wants her. And he finally has his mate and he just wants to put babies in her. And he's looking at her, thinking about all these things. And it's not just that the primitive instinct is coming out. He's also realizing what a mistake he's made.
Right.
What missteps he's made. Because he goes, he's like, I need to put babies in that curved belly. But I also need her to smile at me. Like, I don't like it that she's not smiling
she
at
me. She does
not
even, like me.
And he goes, I need to not have fucked up the best thing that's ever happened in my life before it even happened. Like, I already fucked up. And now I don't know what to do because she's all I want. And I've already put my foot in my mouth so many times. And
y'all, I'm sorry. I love this moment. I love these, like, even if it's just in his head, the groveling moments where he's like,
he's like that slow realization.
So bad.
That slow realization. Like, and he might not be quick to start doing all the grand gestures, but that all makes it all the more genuine because he's a little slow on the uptick, but he's trying. And he makes a little few missteps along the way, but he's still trying, okay? So he brings her to her cabin to go get clothes, pants, because she doesn't have pants on. And she goes in the cabin. They go in the cabin.
I love this
she wants
part.
To go shower off all like the stink from her. And he notices like all the girls are tense, and he notices like there's some missing like shelves
like,
that
it
should
looks like
be filled.
Everything is like completely empty. And he's and he like opens up like one of the
some video games.
It's like
and
video
like,
games,
where's
television.
The TV? And they're like, in the kitchen. And they're like, what games do you have? And so Kennedy like challengingly lists
like,
all the video games that she has. And
Kennedy,
he's like,
I love her.
She's just like, what you can say about it? And he's just like,
well, let's
bring
play
those games over here and let's play.
I love this.
So
I love this
such
moment.
Such a good move. Such a good move.
I was
move.
Like, good job, Alpha.
You gotta warm up to the fam.
So he and Kennedy are totally like, you know, bitch. Like they're like doing that whole
fighting.
Like gamer trash talk thing while they're like playing the games. So when she comes out, she's like, oh my God, he's actually playing with Kennedy?
Yeah.
Like,
not fussing
what's
at
happening?
Them or anything.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
It was good.
So that was really good. And I love how when they're outside, he kind of like he starts being more playful and teasing with her in a human form, which is, you know, how he is in wolf form.
Right.
But now it's coming out because he's like, you know, of course I won't punish them. Like, if you're a good mate. And she's like, oh, good mate. What does a good mate do? And he's like, you know, make me lunch, do my laundry and stuff. And he's teasing her. But she's like, of course, like, that's what you want me to do. And he's like, well, if you really want to know what I want to do, I want to eat you out. And I want to tap that plump ass of yours. But I don't think you're ready for that. And she's like, what? No, what? No. He's like, that's what I think mates are for. And she's like, okay, I'm going to shut up right now because.
Yeah, exactly. I'm over my head. I'm in over my head here.
I love it. I love it so much. And also, while they were at Ty's house, Iman, who is very much not liking this new setup between Una and Killian.
Yeah.
She also had whipped out her phone. So this was a surprise.
Oh, we shouldn't. And that was the thing is like,
and women just can't. Like, what is happening? She has a phone.
Yeah. Women aren't supposed to have phones. But then it's like, and then, and she's like, she realizes all the men are staring at her. And then Killian looks at her and is like, well, I guess women can have phones now.
Yeah.
Like, it's like the alpha female has it because to him, she is his alpha female. And that's when
like another elder mentions, you like, know. Don't act like your female doesn't have a phone.
Like, because they
mate always texts your mate.
They're texting each other.
Pretend mm-hmm. like it's not a precedent already. Mm-hmm. Like, come on. They're such big hypocrites.
Right.
Well, when they go back to his cabin, he's all proud and he walks in. There's new furniture and stuff. And she's like, it smells like Cheryl now. She's like, not happy. And he's like, oh, fuck. So he like moves all the furniture again and he places an order and he's like, I will unload it whenever
he unloads it. Yeah,
he unloads it. Okay,
no one can touch it but me.
So they go into his bedroom and he's just like, we're not going to do anything. We're just going to sleep and stuff. And so she gets in the bed and she is like, oh, I'm never going to be able to fall asleep. But she actually does feel like safe and warm and he just lays next to her. And so she does fall asleep. But in the middle of the night, she gets up and she's kind of like restless and pacing and stuff like that. The heat's coming on to her again. And she kind of is behaving a little bit unreasonably because she wants to kind of make a nest. And she's like, get up, get out the bed.
The nesting.
Like, get out the bed. Give me your pants right now. Give me my pants. And he's like, snapping at him. Like, hand him over right now. Don't ask me
questions. And then she like raids the cupboard she, for like, sheets and all blankets. These
soft things and makes like a pile on the bed.
Yeah.
And like, I love how like she's moving the bed like an inch to the left. He's like, to the right. Oh, no,
I love in her point of view, he's like, he doesn't know what he's doing. Get out of the way. Get don't out of the touch way. It. You it's don't for know me. How to do it. You don't know what you're doing.
You don't know.
The I'm nesting, making the nest. The nesting moment is the best.
I'm absolutely making the nest, okay?
It's so funny.
Oh, God. So I love it. And so we go, he finally gets her back settled, like, into there. And mm-hmm. That's when he confesses to her, like, he's never been all the way with, like, another woman before. And he's talking to her, and he's just like, I didn't ruin it. Did I break us and stuff? And she just, like, so deep in her thoughts. And she's also kind of feeling like she's looking back on her thoughts whenever she's a little bit younger and untried, thinking about how she used to feel unworthy that fate never picked her to have a mate.
Yeah.
And like, she doesn't want to feel vulnerable. She's not ready to open up to him because he's already hurt her. She's like, why would I reveal myself to him?
She does. And she doesn't open up. And but we've seen early on, she's had two different lovers, like some other pack from a guy from a different pack.
Yeah.
And then a human once, you know, like.
So she doesn't tell him this.
No, she doesn't. To herself. You know, she has been with two other men, like, whatever. But
while she doesn't mention while it. She's getting back in settled, like he's getting her settled, and he's just she doesn't know what's going on. And he mm-hmm. explains it to her, he's just like, you're in heat right now. And she's like, no, this isn't heat. And he's like, yeah, babe, it is.
And she goes,
no, but heat hurts. It's the most awful pain you'll ever feel. And she's thinking back to her time in the Blackberry thing.
Yes.
And Killian looks at her and he goes, I'm so fucking sorry. Like,
yeah.
For her to associate like heat, which is supposed to be magical and like and a beautiful. Magical moment, something that you look forward to, for her to associate it with that much pain.
Yeah.
And it's because of him. Like, it's his fault.
It's
like,
his fault.
He is just feeling like so down.
Yeah,
about
he's
it.
Feeling like total shit at this point.
So he just brings her to the edge. He takes the edge off. He gives her an orgasm because he's like, I'm not doing anything more, you will hate me for it. But I need to help you because you are kind of in pain right now. Like, you're wanting. I need to help you.
Yeah.
So he puts her needs before him and gets her off. And then she immediately feels better, but also just like, oh my God, no, what do we do? And he's just like, just sleep. Just go
just
to sleep.
Relax. And so she does.
She has a good sleep after that.
Yeah.
Like, she wakes up in the morning and he's like cooking her breakfast.
Cooking breakfast, like a pile of meat.
Fucking domestic. We love a domestic Killian. Okay?
Yes, we do.
Like, I love it. And when they go, like, later on the night, of course, she has to stick with him throughout the day. Later mm-hmm. on that night, she makes like she's going to actually serve dinner again. And he's just like, oh, no, that's beneath you now.
No, you're not doing that.
She has something to say about this. She's just like, but why do lone females have to serve anyway?
Yeah.
Why can't people serve themselves?
Why can't we just have a buffet and everybody get up and get their own fucking food?
What's wrong with that?
You know?
So I love how when he goes in there, he was just kind of like, first of all, they're late.
Yeah, they're like 30 minutes late because they've been messing around.
And like Cheryl, the alpha female's like tapping her little tappity foot over there. And she's, I don't think we ever said it. She's Hazley's mom.
Yeah.
And he just like, why isn't nobody eating? And she was like, we're not allowed to serve until you're here. But like, he normally is never late. So he never knew this. And he was just like, okay, well, perfect opportunity. Everyone serve themselves.
We're going to have a buffet.
We'll have a buffet. Put the, all the dishes on here. Yeah, they move
the guys
here.
Off one table.
So we're going to have females first, then pups, and then we're going to have
elders first.
Or elders first. Elders first, then females and pups, yes. And then the lieutenants will serve last. And that's very different because before
it's always been the other way around.
Lieutenants got served first, and then elders, right. And it's just all fucked up. So I love it. And they're just like, too. Oh, fuck. And he's so proud. He's like, I'm changing things.
And of course, it's kind of a shit show because everyone's like, brah, like, brah, brah. And Cheryl's trying to organize people. And yes. But he's just like
change
laughing.
Doesn't just happen overnight.
Yeah. It takes a little time.
We're going to work on it. Okay. Yeah. It's going to be better later.
Oh, all right. So one thing that's interesting is that, so after everybody's getting served and like Killian is now up on his chair with her in his lap. And he's feeding her.
And, like he's looking into her eyes, though, too, because this means something to her that he's started to change things. Like, listen to her suggestions, taking it into account and stuff like that. And I do like he has this moment where he says, you know, he's looking at her eyes and her defenses are gone in this moment. Mm-hmm. And he says there's a vulnerability there that scares him because she can be hurt. I can hurt her again.
Yeah.
And I can lose everything if I do that again. Like, and I don't want to fuck up.
Yeah.
And then we get our moment of kind of truth.
Hazley comes out front and center in like her tight pants and outfit and whatever the fuck, her, you know, boots. And it's
and
just like
Iman
basically.
And Lachlan come up too that basically is just kind of like, okay.
They're kind of like hanging back but watching
happening.
Hazley.
Like, females can have phones now. Like, what's going on?
Yeah, so Hazley's like challenging
Hazley's
him.
In on it too.
Yeah, and so basically Hazley challenges, you know, she's a weak-ass, you know, woman. She cannot be, you know, your mate. Basically,
and
like,
she attacked me unprovoked, so I deserve to challenge her.
Yeah, right. I deserve to challenge her again. And, like, I love this moment because it's like she's starting to realize that, you know, basically Killian will not let anything happen to her. So she is the alpha female at this point.
So Hazley's, like, threatening her, and mm-hmm. Una's wolf can't help but respond to the challenge. She can't help it. Like, she knows she's the weaker wolf.
Right.
She can't help it. And, no, like, Killian knows that he needs to let it play out. But also, if Hazley goes after her, he will kill her. Like, he will not let her give her the opportunity.
To kill his mate.
Yeah. When Una shifts, he shifts faster because he is a split shifter.
Right.
Like,
he
just can, like, go very fast. And he ends up by, like, getting towards Hazley first and, like, basically pushing her back. Like,
she cowers under the table.
Oh, fuck,
table.
The alpha's coming after me. Like, that's not what I planned.
I know. Like, I thought he was going to, like, be all impressed with me. Like, no, bitch. And we can tell that Iman has put her up to this.
Yes.
You know?
That's what he said. Like, everything that she was spewing, he was just like, that's not his words.
That's Iman's.
That's Iman's words. Like, he's stirring up shit. I've been waiting for the challenge.
Yeah.
I've been waiting for either Lachlan or Iman to challenge me.
Yeah.
And, like, I know it's coming. And, you know, they're just sowing dissent in the background, basically.
Right.
And in this moment when he had actually shifted, Killian shifted to protect her, everyone realized that if you try to challenge Una, you will basically be challenging Killian, because he will not let anybody go near her.
Right.
So, like, challenge her at your risk, because you're going to be challenging the most powerful alpha male.
Right.
And you're fucked. So,
so she is, she is the most powerful alpha female.
Exactly.
She is now alpha female.
And I love how he kind of tells her that, like, you hold
you
so
are
much
the
power
most powerful.
Now.
You're the most powerful wolf
because you
in this
me.
Pack.
Because you control me. Like,
yes.
You have me. And, like, he tells her that he gives that to her, that power over
I
him.
I love that.
He gives that to her.
Yes. Yes.
Saying, like, you don't know how powerful you are now because you really do control me.
Yes. I mean, I love that moment too because it was very vulnerable on his part, you know?
And I love how, like, they're talking about, yes, shit's going to change. And you know what? He even consults her because when Iman's, like, talking about, like, oh, females are allowed to do this now. And he looks at her, Una, and, like, are they allowed to do this now? And she goes, yeah, we should be able to go to town without asking permission. Maybe we should have a buddy system so nobody goes alone. But, like, we shouldn't have to be beholden to somebody else. He's like, yeah, town sounds fun. Let's all go for ice cream. Like, or he asks her, what do you do for fun in town? He's like, I don't know. Ice cream sounds fun. So they all go in there.
That was funny.
And it was just, like, a funny little moment and stuff.
Yeah, because most of them don't like ice cream.
No.
Like, they only like meat. meat.
The males are like licking it and like throwing it away after, like, ew, this sugary nastiness. But
the kids did.
The kids loved it. It's kids cute. Loved it. They had a good time in town. Well, you know, Una is very impressed with this display that he is willing to defer to her.
And to change
and make things better for the pack. And so whenever they go back to his cabin, she's ready now.
Oh, yeah.
Now she's trusting him.
He comes on again and she's ready to take him.
Super hot,
awesome sex.
Beautiful. And I love how, like, after, like, she collapses and stuff and he's like, oh no, I've broken her, and like taps her cheek and like she's like, get the fuck off. Like, what are you doing?
Well, let me just relax.
Okay. Like, I wanted to make sure you're okay. Like, I know it's supposed to hurt the first time. Like, and she's like, oh yeah, that wasn't my first time.
Oh my God. His wolf, like, shifts on top of her.
He's like, what do you mean?
That wasn't your first time.
How and many? Who are they?
He's, like, ready to kill people. And so he shifts. But the sad thing is his wolf just, like, comes out in a roar because he's so furious that any man has touched her.
Yeah.
And he scares her. Like, he's, like, on top of her, like, growling, you know, like he could kill her, you know. And so she immediately cries and is, like, screaming. And he backs off and, like, runs away. Like, he realizes what
the fuck am I doing. He knows that he could fuck things up in this situation. Yeah. So he's just like, I need to remove myself before it gets bad. And I need to go outside. Well, we didn't really talk about, like, he ran into another male.
I love this guy.
how do you say his name?
What's his name? Okay. So Dara is, like, alone. He's kind of a, he lives out alone. He's a lone wolf by choice.
Almost feral. So there's this other pack. That's like, they're called the last pack, and they're almost feral.
They live like feral. They have no females. They're always like trying to steal females. Mm-hmm. So that's another reason that Killian is so insistent that they be safe, because they know the last pack is out there looking for like wolf females. Mm-hmm. Well, Dara, he lives in the woods. He brings like deer meat, like fresh deer to the camp and stuff like that.
Taking care of Mari on the sly.
Yes. So we find out that Mari is his mate, but this is a secret. It's a secret, but she's 17 and he's like obviously in his 30s or something or 40s. And so he's like, you know, I can't.
He doesn't want her to be attached to him because he's so old. And
yes.
He doesn't want to take that away from her. So he's chosen to live separately.
But we also learn he sends her money.
He sends her anything she needs. And he like specifically kills the game and like these steaks are for
her. These are for her. These are for Mari.
These look specific. So he takes care of her from afar. Okay.
I love that when he says, Killian says something about, you know, don't you want to ask about her? And he's like, what's wrong with her? He's all nervous.
What? Hypothetically, if she went into town by herself, would you be angry with her? If she put herself in danger, and he's like, she's in danger. He's like, no, 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 no. And he's like, I'm not opening up the can of worms that she has secretly been trading with humans, because he will freak out.
Yeah.
But hypothetically, what if she chose to be with other people?
Mad at her?
And he's like, no, I can't be mad at her for that. Like, it's not like she's ruined for you or whatever. Like, And so, like, he knows that he's now talking about Una. And so, basically, just like, get your head out of your ass. Like, nothing's ruined for you.
Your mate's inside. Go talk to her.
Go get her.
Yeah.
And so, he does go inside, and she's upset about the whole situation. She had started to strip their nest, and he puts it back.
He puts it all back.
And I love how, in her head, she's just like, it's wrong.
He's fucked it all up. Just get out of the way. I love how she's so insistent about the nest. It makes me crazy. It's so
cute. But he tells her, he's like, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry that I had that reaction. And he's like, I'm totally wrong, and you're not ruined at all for me, at all.
Because, like, he's, like, lots of women touch him. Yes, he hasn't penetrated them, but they've, you know, sucked him off.
Yeah, he's like, I'm not going to blame you. You're 27 you know what I mean? Years old. Like, I'm not going to blame you at all. But it was just aggressive instinct that I could not.
He reacted.
I'm sorry for it, and I apologize, and I'm an asshole. So they go to sleep, but they get a call in the middle of the night. There is a fire at Una's cabin.
Cabin. And he's like, stay here. You have to say, if you come, I won't be able to focus. You have to stay here.
If my mate's in danger, I cannot focus on saving your friends.
Right. So she's like, fine, go. And so as they're going, like, you know, she's seeing people running by and they're all going to help. And then she hears Fallon,
who was one of her foster brothers, by the way.
Yeah. And she had kind of helped and given money to, like, she's given him game boxes and stuff.
They traded games with him.
Yes. Like, he was one of their friends, and he's like, oh, come here, Una, come around. There's something I got to show you. And then she is like kidnapped. By Fallon and Alfie.
Yes. They're all waiting for her. They kidnap her and take her. They take her. So the next thing we see is that she's thrown against a wall in a cave. So they're by like the old places where they used to live, the ruins, the caves.
And all her girls are there as well. They've also been kidnapped.
Yes.
And they're a bunch of the last pack, the wild pack. They're being fucking traded.
Fucking Iman. they're like, hey, like, you said that there would be three females that we could trade for. And yeah. There's only two. And they're like, what are you talking about? There is three right there. And they're like, no, that one pointed to Mari is mated.
That one's mated.
And this is a secret because Una didn't even know about this. Yes. Una's like, what? Mari is mated? And she's like looking down, like blushing. And
yeah.
Like, oh, fuck. Nobody knows about this. So anyway, they're basically like, you could have that one anyway. Like, you can just have her and we don't care.
You can
basically
just use her if you can't. You can't make babies with her, but you know.
You can just use her. It's like disgusting. Disgusting male behavior. There's so many people from, you know, the quarry pack that Una's just like, all these stupid fucking idiots just like falling.
They're gonna die.
Fallon, my stupid brother.
Yeah.
My foster brother, who the reason why he's in league with them is because he is in B roster and he's not quite at the par with
influenced.
Everybody. And he wants to be part of A team, but he's not there yet. So he sees this as a shortcut. They promised him things. And so she's like feeling bad because she's like, he's being an idiot, but like he's so young. Like, he
I love
know
in
any
this
better.
Moment, like she's not concerned about, she's like, Killian's going to come and kill all these fuckers. Like, she's never like concerned like about like, we're going to be okay.
She's not concerned
yeah,
about
yeah,
herself.
Yeah. I'm not concerned
she
about herself.
She is concerned about if Killian comes in here with guns blazing, they will lose half of their pack, basically.
Yes.
They will lose a lot.
Yeah.
Well, half of their fighting men, they will lose a lot of men.
His wolf will not stop until they're all dead.
No, because he's just thinking on instinct. His mate is in trouble, and when he's tried to harm his mate, and so she's thinking
so she
on her
plan.
Feet because she's just like, yeah, we can't let this happen here. And we also find out that the second that she saw everybody else, she tugged on that mate bond because it has snapped back into place.
It has,
and she called
it's fully
him.
Back.
Like, her first instinct was to call her mate.
Yeah,
so she already knows. She's like, he's on his way.
He's on his way.
He's
she can feel him growing closer.
And so she finally understands, like, she goes into his head, like, she goes through the mating bond, and she sees all of his worries.
Yes.
She sees all of his anxiety. Because on the outside, he looks calm, collected, like, nothing phases him. On the inside, he is a wreck. He's a mess.
Yeah.
And that's why he needs Una to balance him out. And she sees all these worries and stuff, and sees the worry for her, and knows that she needs to do something, or else they're going to be in a weak position compared to the other five packs. So before she's like, he's very close. Before he gets there, she kind of sidles up to Lachlan. And she knows he's about to get there, and she's put herself in a vulnerable position because as soon as he makes his appearance, Lachlan automatically gets her and, like, guards himself, puts her in front of him, and puts a knife
which
up
was
her
plan.
Yeah, up to her neck. So that Killian pauses. Because now he pauses, his mate's in danger.
Yeah,
so now
he has to
can't.
Stop and think. Y'all, this moment was, it was almost comical. Because Lachlan's, like, threatening him, like, I'll kill her and stuff. And, like, and Killian's just, like, he's marching back and forth, pacing, going, why did you do this, Una? Why did you put yourself, like,
why?
He's fussing at her.
You were safe over there. You were safe over there.
He's fussing at her.
And you just ruined my fun.
He's, like, totally not concerned about Lachlan.
Not
like,
concerned.
He's like, I'm going to kill this motherfucker before he tries to, like, do anything to her. It's the funniest, like, standoff scene.
It's funny because they're not concerned that they will prevail.
Right.
She's just, they're having their own conversation that nobody understands.
They're having a battle of wills. She's like, we have to save the pack. You have to think about the pack. He's like, but they betrayed you. He's like, but they were led astray. And so they're, like, having this, like, battle back and forth.
Like, we know who's responsible.
Yes.
Iman and Lachlan. We know the responsible parties.
All.
Give the other people a chance.
Right.
So what happens
so that's
is
what happens.
She kind of pulls on the mate bond to have more strength, and she ends up by shifting so that she, like, drops low.
She drops right before Lachlan tries to cut her.
Yeah. And she gets away.
And she's out the
way.
She kicks
out his knee, and then that's when Killian kills Iman and Lachlan. So they're both dead.
Yes.
But he just seriously kind of injures the rest of the people.
Yeah.
Okay. And then all of a sudden, the backup's there, like Ty. All of his lieutenants.
Yeah. They're just a little bit slower
there.
Than him. Yeah, so they get there.
And so he's just mad at her, like, for putting, like, never put yourself in danger or like that again. And he basically tells everybody else, like, saying, like, hey, I'm going to give you, like, this one last chance. But guess what? Whenever we get out to camp, you're Z roster. Like, you're fucking nothing.
You can't
eat with us. Like, you are on your own. And
you're
going to
get the scraps.
Yeah. Maybe you can get back into my good graces eventually. But, like, you have to accept that status quo. Like, if you're coming back, you will be the lowest of the low. I just want to let you know. Like, so if you come back, be sure.
Yeah.
They all come back, okay?
Yep.
And I love it. So they go, like, they bring all of the girls back to the camp, but I love how Killian and Una actually go to the caves again.
Yeah.
And they find, like, the cave where, like, it's supposed to be, like, very auspicious to, like, conceive in this cave and stuff like that. Yes. And it's, like, the old way. There's a beautiful, like, pool that, like, naturally filters the water.
Yes.
There. So they're kind of, like, bloody and gross. So they go, like, bathe in there. And it's a very, like, very intimate moment. It's, like, they're getting, like, kind of in touch, like, with the old ways. But the good part of the old ways. Not, like, the bad part.
Not the crazy part.
Like, females still go up there, like, give birth sometimes, too. Because it's just, like, you know, it's, like, a place
it's of like a place of connection. Yes, it's like their ancestry. Sanctuary.
Yes. Right. Yes. And so they have their moment over there. And then we get the epilogue, okay?
Yeah.
You know, it's been like about a year later. And Una's reflecting on all the things that have happened throughout the year. And oh, by the way, she's having Ty move the furniture out because she's 8 months pregnant. And
she's I love like, that she's standing there fighting.
She's like, get the couch out of here. She's like, get that couch out.
I don't like the way it feels. I smell dead cow and like, it feels smelling weird.
The leather, like the chemicals I just don't like in it. The leather. Yeah. She's like, absolutely not. Get it out of my sight. And I love how this scene basically demonstrates, you know, the how they go about like ruling the pack.
Yeah.
They compromise.
Yeah.
And they also talk about how, you know, now the girls have their, like, she negotiated, she wanted a greenhouse. Yes. She wanted to be able to sell herself.
She wants to,
they have an online business. She wants to
grow
now.
Their own business.
Yes.
And sell it for the pack, but and it's their business.
Guess what? You know? She even says that in about a year or two, they're going to be outselling, like, they're going to sell so much that they'll make more than what the men make while fighting.
Oh, yeah.
She's like, I can't wait for that day. I cannot wait for that day.
I love
like, we make more than you. And, like, there's changes. I love how, like, the cook, old Noreen, is, like, watching Julia Child videos now to, like, get new recipes. So I just love how, like, everything's kind of, like, changed for the better. And
it is.
Like, there's progress being made.
Yes.
In this pack.
Yes.
We also know that the, you know, the heir apparent to the other pack, to Moonlight
Pack, he's coming to train with them.
Yep.
So we can definitely expect that. Also, I just love this moment. I laughed so hard when, like, Ty took the couch out and he goes back. Killian sits in, like, a fold-out, you know, metal chair, and she sits in his lap and he goes, I really love that couch. It's just like, but he's like, he's willing to give up all of his things for her, but it's just so, like, I don't know. It was adorable.
It is really adorable. I really love it. And they're both, like, just like, well, I love that couch, but I love you. Like, I love how her ultimatum was, it's the couch for me. And he's like, well, of course it's you.
It's not gonna be the fucking couch. Ty, take the fucking couch, you know?
Like, okay, but, you know, she wants to pick out the couch and he's like, but you can't go over there because you're so close to your due date.
Yeah,
I'll let you pick it out online.
You can pick it online and I will, like, shove it in the house.
Yes.
Showdown. Oh, well, I get to do showdown.
Yeah, you get to do showdown first.
Oh my God, it's really hard. But I think I'm going to go with the first nesting scene.
Oh my God, this is my scene.
I laughed. I was laughing and also swooning at the same time.
I'm still crying, though, too, because
it's
all the things.
Because, like, he's, like, apologizing, like, all that thing when he realized how much he hurt her. And then also when he sees her nesting, like, this is what he was giving up when he rejected her, you know? And, like, he realizes it.
Almost fucked it up to the point of no return. And that's the part that I love most about it because, you know, it is very humorous. It's also very sweet, though, too. And it's almost kind of, like, innocent and just very the way tender. That she's trying to, like, you know, make her nest, like, homey
she's
for
like,
her.
Get out the way and
but
let me do the
nest. But then also when he just kind of, like, when he realizes that she associates heat with the most painful
thing
imaginable.
That's ever happened.
And he knows that he did that. Like, in that moment, he knows the extent of his rejection, what he did to her. Yeah. And I'm just like, yes, recognize that. Feel the pain.
Look, this was a brilliant premise because I love this idea. Yeah. I love this idea that he didn't recognize her and had to come groveling. I'm so excited about the next one.
It wasn't his fault and he groveled basically the whole time. Like he was slow. It wasn't like a realization. So it didn't get old because you were waiting for him to make those connections.
Yeah.
And he did and it was beautiful when he realized it because he was all in.
Then he was just wooing her the whole time.
Yeah.
So it was awesome. I loved it. I loved it too.
Such a great book.
Thank you
so much, Kate C. Wells.
Yes.
I can't wait for the next book.
Please keep writing quickly.
All right, guys, we hope that you enjoyed today's episode and we look forward to the next one where we'll be discussing Things We Never Got Over. Thanks so much for listening.
This goes out to all the fangirls.
Life's better with a little HEA.